Good morning and welcome to Friday. First day of the weekend. Well, some of you are working one more day. George Watkins here on our morning time together. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for all the support you give me in prayer and telling someone, sharing this with someone, thumbs up, liking it. All those things are part of our partnership. Thank you for that. Well, a number of years ago, long years ago now, I heard Kenneth Hagin say something in one of his tapes, one of his sermons, and he said, sin is missing the mark. Well, we took that in and certainly learned and chewed on it and had revelation on it. But I want to talk a little bit about that again today. Sin is missing the mark. Now, if you were raised in a church that had a good touch of holiness doctrine in it, they'd give you a pretty good idea of what you can do and what you can't do. And in order to make it really stick so that you wouldn't do it, they get God involved, obviously, and then hell involved, hell or heaven. And so it's very simple. If you went to this place or did this thing or said these words, you were going to go to hell. If you didn't say them, then you were a good Christian and Jesus loved you. Now, a little simplistic, maybe I'm being a little too straightforward, but pretty close to the mark in some of the churches, especially Pentecost that I was raised in. Now, when I talk about Pentecost, I'm not negative. I'm just descriptive of where we started, where we're on our track, where we're going, not to deny the power and the revelation and the experience and the gifts of the Spirit and all the wonderful things that go along with Pentecost. That was my entire life. That's who I am today. I'm a Pentecostal person. Well, we use the word charismatic, trying to tone it down a bit so we don't scare anybody off. But added to that is the age-old religious attitude. If a little bit is good, let's add a lot to it. If God says don't do this, let's add 10 more things. So that it really will impress you. Okay. Now, this thing of missing the mark then had everything to do with fleshly sins. If I did these sins, I have missed the mark. It was very early on I knew what not to do because it was written up in the list of things that you could and could not do if you were going to play in the orchestra or sing in the choir. And some of those things were what we teenagers wanted to do. And we snuck out and did some of it. Well, we had to deal with condemnation. We had to deal with forgiveness. I'm not talking about gross fleshly sins. I'm talking about worldly customs or the style of what the world was at that time. I've told you in some humorous way, at least, but it was a serious thought that when I had my some of my first cars, my first car with a radio was a 51 Ford convertible. Oh, I tear up just thinking about it. But my dread was that I would have an accident somehow, and I'd be comatose, laying over the steering wheel. And they would find me with my radio turned to a rock and roll station. Oh, that was just some of the scariest thoughts I'd ever had. Now, it didn't stop me from listening to rock and roll, but it gave me a sense of condemnation and guilt because I felt like I was missing the mark. Okay. Well, those things that have been listed in our life not to do to please God, I would suggest that we have a review of some of them because there's a lot of it smacks of somebody's good idea. For instance, in our church, you couldn't wear red as a woman because it reflected off of the red color or the red light district at where the harlots and the prostitutes worked. And in some cases, men couldn't wear certain things and women couldn't wear certain things and on and on and on. Just, it comes out of the holiness movement. Pentecost picked it up. And so they judged you by the outward appearance. Well, some of those people that had their outward appearance pretty good had a tongue that would cut you off at the ankles and had unforgiveness and attitudes of bitterness that was deadly. So my point today is this. I'm talking about dancing with God. I came across something in the Mirror Bible last night as I was reading Ephesians, and I wanted to read it to you today on this Friday and just pick up a thought about dancing with God. And I'm going to ask you, have you got your dance back yet? Well, ooh, don't talk about dancing if you're an old Pentecostal. I had to stand in the hallway during the fifth grade dance lessons or dance classes because I wasn't, you know, we didn't believe in dance. Now, I'm not saying go out and dance. Don't get me wrong. But if dancing keeps you out of heaven, then don't do it in church. We had a fair amount of problems when the charismatics started dancing in church. It's more of a bunny hop, you know, or an Irish jig. Wasn't much of a dance. But we got criticized for it because it was called dancing. Well, the Old Testament's filled with it, didn't it? Amen. Look at this. Second chapter of Ephesians. This is out of the Mirror Bible. Picture where God found us. We were in a death trap of an inferior lifestyle, constantly living below the blueprint measure of our life. Now, listen to that phrase, the blueprint measure of our life. Now, you see, God has created in us a blueprint or a pattern, and it's His desire that we do this. Amen. How do you find out? Well, first of all, desire comes out of the heart. It can come through a prophetic word where the prophet brings it out till you recognize it. And you say, oh yes, now I know what that means. That's part of the desire. You know, people have such strange careers. Who in the world would want to do that, I say sometimes. But I'm glad someone climbs the tall towers and fixes the cell towers so I can use my phone. I'm really glad that someone knows how to work on an airplane engine so it doesn't quit when I'm in it. I thank God that somebody loves to make good sandwiches when I'm hungry or a good cup of coffee when I need one. You see, all these strange desires God puts together to make the world go around. Listen to this, verse 2. We were all part of a common pattern, swept along. This is talking about being deceived or being in a death trap, inferior lifestyle. A death trap, inferior lifestyle. Think about that. We were all part of a common pattern, swept along under a powerful, invisible influence, a spirit energy that adopted us as sons to its dictates through unbelief. Unbelief puts us into a company of people that are bound up in a lifestyle that's dysfunctional. Unbelief does that to you. Verse 3. Throughout that time, every one of us were warped and corrupted in our conduct, snared in a jungle of forbidden lust, driven by the desires of the senses, completely engaged in an expression of a life ruled by mind games. It was as if a twisted passion parented a universal breed of people. That's a mouthful for you. We were, because of Adam's fall, we were bred to miss the mark and lose our dance with God. Verse 4, none of this could distract from the extravagant love of God. He continued to love us with the exact same intensity. I told you some time ago about a man and a woman that lived in Vegas, Las Vegas. And he was the pimp and she was the prostitute, and they worked the streets. Somewhere along the way, he ran into Jesus and got converted. And he loved his wife. Now, this is so far beyond my ability. I cannot say I could ever match this. But he loved his wife so much that he stayed in prayer, serving God, loving her, while she went out for 9 years. Until one day, got saved. Now, the last report I heard several years ago was together they have a great, powerful ministry now in Las Vegas, ministering to the people that they were redeemed from. Those people you see walking around and you see them in bondage, you see them, well, for instance, on the streets, selling themselves, or bound up through deathly habits. Those people are missing the mark, not because they're a prostitute, not because they're a drunkard or a dope person. It's because they have missed the calling that God has in their life, and they're missing the destiny that the Father had in store for them. That is the great sin. I'm not discounting lifestyles that are deadly. I'm not saying go out and do what you like to do and just let God continue to love you. That's another subject on grace. People talk about hyper grace. I think we need more grace in the church, to tell you the truth. We shoot our soldiers when they make a mistake or they fall. You take a preacher or a Christian leader that falls, man, the chickens are on him, pecking at him or her. Come on. We need more grace in the house of God. Why? Because when you are in that position, God loved you and never stopped loving you and never will stop loving you, even if you are missing the mark. Isn't that something? Verse 4. I'll read it again. This is Ephesians, the second chapter, in the Mirror Bible. None of this could distract from the extravagant love of God. He continued to love us with the exact same intensity. Verse 5. This is how grace rescued us. Sin left us dead toward God, like a spiritual corpse, yet in the state of deathness and indifference, God quickened us together with Christ. Sin proved how dead we were. Grace reveals how alive we now are. Before anyone but God believed it, he made us alive together with him and raised us up together with him. There's a note here that was added. In the economy of God, this is out of Hosea. Let's see, I'm back up in Deuteronomy 32 and 18. 32 and 18. This is what 32 and 18 of Deuteronomy says. You have forgotten the rock that begot you, and have gotten out of step with the God who danced with you. I love that phrase. You won't find it in the King James, but I found it in the Mirror Bible. The God who danced with you. And what I'm encouraging you today to do is get back in the dance with God, because he's got some steps for you that you have never known. Now, I've lived through watching it from afar. I was never involved in it because of our Pentecostal world. In all the styles of dances that came and went, you know, in the rock and roll days, I wasn't old enough to have the jitterbug days, and you know, and all the slow waltz and the square dance, and on and on and on. Well, God's got a dance step for you you've not found yet, and I've been shouting at you and encouraging you for some weeks now to get into His face. Put your face in the face of God. Most intimate thing you can do is put your face up in somebody else's face and look them in the face, in the eyes. Don't cast down. Don't look away. And you watch, exchange. An exchange will happen. An exchange will happen. I've done a little bit of movie work with my son. Been a star. And I heard a story. One of our actors told us he was working with one of the bigs in Hollywood. And he said, if you're going to work with him, you could not look him in the face when you were there working around the lot and the set. Somehow, if people looked him in the face, it took something away from him, I guess. Either that, he was a super egotist. Now, I want you to dance with God this week. Put on some music if you want to pantomime it out, just so you can feel it, see it, hear it. Put some music on. Put yourself in a room. Don't let anybody look at you for a while. You know, and grab a hold of God and dance with Him. He wants to show you some steps. He wants to draw out your creative spirit. He wants to revive your anointing. He wants to lay hands on that gift that's not fired up. He wants to take you by the hand and lead you beside still waters and feed you at a table that will never run out of food. Amen. I mean, they got the nation running scared because of the baby food shortage. And I'm not saying it's not a problem, but anything they can do to run fear through us and try to drive us like oxen somewhere or herd of buffalo, don't get caught up in it. Dance with God. Get alone in that room and dance with Him. And watch Him teach you some things that you've never known yet. Wow, wouldn't that be something to learn something I didn't know? All right, Friday. Friday is a good day to be alive, folks. Friday is a good day to hear the voice of God, to see the face of God, and to know the will of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for joining me today. Subscribe, like. Share, tell somebody about the program. Would like to see more of the hungry saints of God tune in. If God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do it through PayPal or snail mail. The address is below. Love you guys and gals, the ones I know. I really know how to pray for you because I can see your face. The ones I don't know, I pray for you. By faith that God knows where you are. Amen. Until Sunday night at 6:30, or 6 o'clock, rather. Sunday night at 6, we'll be here again. Loving you and looking for ways to bless you through the Word of God. Until then, be bright and shiny, because you got the glory of God in you.